Dean Furman, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
He looks so, in one piece to me.
He does. It's the beard. It's the beard that does it. So, Dean, listen.
All these flaws.
I have to tell you, the other day, right? So, I booked a whole thing. I had someone special in town. I booked a bit of a party. I kind of underestimated, and far too many people came in the restaurant. Was a bit gobsmacked, and not everyone had a place to sit. So the restaurant experience is something which people, you know, there's a whole thing. You've got to book, you've got to do things, but you've come to tell us today that actually that's all changing.
Not necessarily all changing anytime really soon, but I just thought it was an interesting example just to try. We like during this segment to expand people's minds about where the world's going and how technology is changing the way that we all work, and just we thought we would focus this week on the restaurant industry. Trust me, it's not. I'm not in the restaurant industry, nor do I want to be. But yeah, there's so many things that could be exciting, or not so exciting, but a lot that could change.
Well, I mean, for one, I actually saw the other day that there's now an app that does the most important part of any restaurant meal, which is figuring out who pays and how much they pay. Because if you've ever been on with some schnorrer friends, they always leave you hanging with a little bit extra of the cash, you know, especially
is that,
at
is
the
that
moment.
For you the most important part?
Absolutely. I'm like, guys, I just had a great meal, and now I'm having to pay for your rubbish salad that you ordered. It's not ideal.
Yeah, everyone always forgets the extra Evo or something or whatever came with it. And
So besides apps that help you pay, what else is changing the restaurant experience?
So actually, the food itself is very interesting. There's a lot of technology that and science that's been put into specifically meat. Mm-hmm. So actually, there's two companies in that. One is quite extreme, and the one's more extreme, is that the one is called, if you could Google, the Impossible Burger. So basically, what they've done is take plants like they usually use, you know, instead of those terrible beef substitute, you know, soya plant things, whatever they are, and just adding flavoring to it. What they've actually done is they've extracted the cell. They've worked out what cells within the meat actually give it the taste.
Right.
And they've taken that and it's now put that into meat to actually taste exactly like meat. It really is plant that looks and tastes exactly like meat. And if it looks a bit gimmicky, just to put it into context, they've received $250 million in funding now, which, you know, I don't know how many gazillion rands that is, but it is a lot of money. So a lot of thoughts being put about that. But then one step further, even more extreme, there's something called Memphis Meats that what they did is they recently created, a year ago they created the first ever lab-grown meatball, which sounds weird, but
not
basically what
gross.
They did. Yeah, I'll tell you now. And then a couple months back, they created the first lab-grown chicken strip. So as I say, if you look under it, they take the cells from whatever the meat may be, whatever the chicken may be, and they actually use it and actually grow it in a way. I don't know, actually.
A petri dish, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Into what you look under the microscope, you can't tell the difference between a hamburger or a meatball that's the original one from an animal. So they basically saying that now they can create meat and food without needing to kill any animal. So from a kosher perspective, okay, it won't be kosher because
you haven't shechted it.
You haven't shechted it and all that. But the thing is that it is quite amazing that something like that, if they get the cost down, because the price of one meatball was something like $10,000
to create.
But as they get that down, it'll be very interesting to see how that affects things. Imagine, you know, you don't have to, you know, have chickens slaughter them.
Well, I mean, maybe it would be kosher because it wouldn't technically be from an animal. I mean, it would just be. I'd love to hear the halacha on that. And what happens if it starts like growing an eye by mistake, you know, in the petri dish? Because that does sometimes happen with cells, you know. It's kind of not ideal.
I don't know. It does it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think there's been examples of like tumors and stuff that have grown eyes and teeth. And
is it? Anyway. I think this is very controlled and specific. They don't actually grow. They basically grow your burger.
Well, I mean,
Benji, this went from a discussion about food.
Okay.
Yes.
To just something out of a horror movie.
Well, I was about to say that, you know, the cost and growth of the food, it's probably going to be cheaper and sooner than some restaurants that I've been to. You know, the service is not always ideal. So if you, and I've always said, well, they're growing the food from scratch sometimes. So yeah, literally, yeah, they might very well be doing that. Certainly, I think it's an interesting thing because, you know, vegetarians get very upset around animals and there's a big impact on the environment. So if there was a way, especially for mass production meat, you know, I'm not talking about the Kobe beef where they've sung to the cow and, you know, give it a massage and feed it beer.
My opinion is the, I'll upset a few people, but the vegetarians need to get over themselves. And, is that don't worry too much about that, you know. But the interesting thing is really it's quite a interesting thing whether a vegetarian would eat that because no animal was harmed in the process, but it technically sort of is meat. So would they eat that because, might be so ingrained with them, don't eat things that are like meat. But, no animal was harmed in that
process. Only lab technicians were harmed.
Yeah, that's only just one example. Like, for example, there's another company called Moly, and it's not science fiction. They've literally used artificial intelligence to map the movements of famous chefs. So what they've done is that they've partnered with them, and you can actually have these robot arms in your kitchen or in a restaurant. And it's actually crazy. It looks like real arms, and it knows what to grab, what ingredients, everything. Basically, laid up, you select a meal, does everything for you, and just in the exact same way that original chef would do because it's like maps their exact movements. Should see this thing. It's quite amazing. Cutting the different vegetables, putting the meal together. So you wouldn't need the waiters. You wouldn't even need the meat. You know, it's interesting.
Great. So we'll have a restaurant without food and a restaurant without waiters. I think that's pretty good. It could be a really different restaurant. Okay, so that's all that's all that's happening. I've also seen apps for paying, so that waiters can also take the order properly and the efficiency side of things as well.
There's a lot in there's a lot in that space, a lot of different things and using a lot of augmented reality to like scan the menu and see exactly what the food would look like. There's a lot in that space and splitting the bills and stuff like that, but it's a little bit more boring, I thought it's just interesting. And it's not important. The point is, it's not important about the restaurant industry. For the people in the restaurant industry, if there are any listening that are, maybe that's interesting for them. But the point is to realize like the times that we live in are very different to before. Like major things can happen and the equivalents could happen in your industry, whatever that may be, it's just worth keeping up to date with.
Absolutely. Tabo, we are growing your burger as we speak. It'll be ready by the end of the show. Dean, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about the restaurant industry.
Yeah, and have a good Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you, Shana Tova, to you.